We are at, on page 445, 446. This is chapter 11, Simon 11, letter 11 of Egeres HaKodesh. And it is a general letter which is sent to the general public. I refer to chapter 11 of Egeres HaKodesh as being life-changing. The Alter Rebbe, what he did was he made it amalgam of chapter 26 of Tanya.
Okay.
And the first part, first two chapters of, specifically chapter 2, of Shar Yichud V'Emuna.
Okay.
And augmented the combination of the two.
Wow.
That's what chapter 11 is about.
Wow.
Okay. Chapter 26 talks about worries.
Yeah.
And how to deal with physical worries.
Right.
And the chapter 2 of Shar Yichud V'Emuna deals with creation and Hashgacha Pratis. And why there is Hashgacha Pratis.
We should have just learned this chapter 11, we'd have been done.
We wouldn't have been ready for it. Indeed. But there is actually a story that the Alter Rebbe, I've only heard this story one time.
Okay.
And unfortunately the person from whom I heard it has passed away. And I have never seen it in print. But I say it anyway. The Alter Rebbe, when he was 4 years old, wrote a Pirush on Chumash, which was a compilation of Rashi, Ibn Ezra, and Ramban. And when he finished it, he had a dream that he was standing in front of a Beis Din comprised of Rashi, Ibn Ezra, and Ramban. And they had a major taina to him that since he wrote his commentary, no one was learning their commentary.
Individual.
So it says that he woke up and he took his commentary and threw it into a fire.
Wow.
He burnt it. Okay. Similarly, the Alter Rebbe wrote the Shulchan Aruch, we call the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch.
Yes.
He wrote it on the whole Yeridea.
Yeah.
Also. And that was lost in a fire as well. But that he didn't start that fire. When that fire happened, he asked his son, did anybody make copies of my manuscripts? And the Mittler Rebbe responded, you put a gezera of excommunication on anybody if they so much as looked at your manuscripts.
Yes.
And he responded, but where is Mesiras Nefesh? Okay, so what would it have been? What did I have to do to get smicha? I had to learn Yeridea, so I had to take out the big book, and I learned the Shach and the Taz, the Prima Gadin, a couple of things in the front, in the back, like this. It had the Alter Rebbe's commentary on those sections survived.
Yeah.
So then I just would have learned those.
Yeah.
And it would have been easy as cake. It would have been so much easier.
Yeah.
Well, just open it up. I would have known like this what to do. You know, anybody would have said anything. It's right there.
Right.
You know?
That's why.
So, is that the reason why it was burnt? I'm not going to answer that question.
No, that's
fine. Okay. So, now, this is a general letter to the general public, but it begins in the singular tense, which is lahaskilacha bina, that every individual has to understand. Okay? That means to say every single individual, lahaskilacha means you. It should be lahaskilachem, would be that you plural, meaning if he's sending it out to all you people.
Right.
The Rebbe, when he would send out a general letter, he would address it to l'chol b'nei u'b'nais Yisrael b'chol makam sheheim, to all children of Israel, wherever they be. Okay? So when it was always plural, and all the language was plural. Here, this is singular.
Wow. Singular.
Because, first of all, there's a pasuk lahaskil habina. That's taken directly from the pasuk. Okay. But the Alter Rebbe wants to emphasize that this pasuk, that this idea, these ideas that are going to be conveyed over here, about, essentially, betachan and Hashem, is achievable not for a tzaddik, not for a beinoni, but for everybody. You don't have to reach your goal in life of spiritual attainment to come to understand the idea of bitachon, of trusting Hashem. even in physical things. Ki loizu haderech yishkein or Hashem liyeis chafetz b'chaye b'sorim b'banei b'mazayna. So he says that this is not the way in which the Hashem's light dwells. And there being a desire for physical life with children and sustenance, and you throw health in there also. Because about this, our sages say in Pirkei Avos, nullify your will to make his, Shem should make his will your will.
Right.
So here, he's saying that there are, like he said in chapter 26, there are three things that people worry about. There's also those three things are the same thing that people get nachas from. When you think about it,
true,
also.
True, 100%, of course.
Okay, the three things that people worry about are their kids, their family, their health, and their parnasa, their money.
Right.
Now, where is it that we derive our three sources of nachas from? B'banei chayim mizayin. With our children, life, and sustenance.
Right.
What's the way? He says it doesn't make sense to worry about such things. Because we have a simple way of dealing with any physical problem you may have involving children, wealth, or sustenance, children, health, or sustenance, is make your will his will, and he'll make his will your will. Okay, that's the basic bottom line. Now, this idea that he says over here, that means to say that his will should be nullified in its existence. There are different levels of bittul. Mm-hmm. What is it? He uses specifically bittul b'metzias. You can have an idea. You have, for example, you have the idea of bittul b'shishim. Bittul b'shishim, I wouldn't call it bittul b'metzias. Why? Because you have a concept of choyze v'niyur. What's choyze v'niyur? It's a person standing over a pot of stew, and he's drinking a glass of milk, and if his wife saw him, she would yell at him, and he dribbles in a couple of drops of milk into the stew, and it gets stirred in.
Right.
So no problem, batel b'shishim.
Right, right.
Okay? What happened to the milk? Where is it?
It's there.
It's in the pot.
It's in the pot.
So why can you eat it?
It's nullified.
Meaning?
There's no town, there's no color, there's no...
It has lost its significance.
Right.
Okay? Now, what happens to the Shlemazel over here, the Shmendrik even, he's still stirring. And he's still drinking a glass of milk.
Yeah.
And more milk falls into it. Are you going to say still, batel b'shishim? It's only just a couple of more drops. Answer?
No.
Tension.
Choyze v'nir. The stuff that was nullified before, because it didn't have any taste and didn't lead any importance,
still
is
exists.
Now, it still exists, it's still there.
Still exists, right.
So it hooks up with the new milk that is just poured in there,
right.
And voila, it's not buckled anymore.
Right.
So wait a minute, so when it was buckled, so how buckled was it?
Exactly, it wasn't really.
It wasn't, well, it's a level of bittul there.
Right, bittul, yeah.
Okay, such that it can come back.
Yeah.
That doesn't help us over here.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
a person's going to say,
you know what, today, I'll be good.
Yeah. Today, I believe.
Okay, God, I expect you to take care of me because today I'm going to be good.
Yeah.
Okay, tomorrow, we'll work on tomorrow. I'm sorry, I had enough yesterday. I was good yesterday. I'm taking a vacation today.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
All right.
That's not the way. That's not the bittul that we're talking about.
Okay.
Or the sense of nullification that let's see how I can say this. If you have a person who's an alcoholic and he just says, "I'll just have one drink," and he walks away, and that's it. That's all he has. Okay. So he's fine, except he's. Not.
He's not at all fine. No.
Not at all fine.
Right.
Because now he's thinking, well, maybe tomorrow I'll have another one.
Right.
And now that becomes his whole reason for existing now.
I'll have one more. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So that's not the nullification we're talking about over here when we say batel b'metzias.
Right.
This level of batel b'metzias, he actually talks about later on in chapter 20, which we'll get to eventually. we exist, and this is how he answered the question in chapter 12 of our existence. Mm-hmm. The question basically arose from learning Shari Chadvamuna, how could we exist and not exist simultaneously? Mm-hmm. And the answer is because we're batel b'metzius.
Right.
That means to say that would it be that the life force which is keeping us in existence, that means we have an existence, but would it be that the life force that is keeping us in existence were to be withdrawn, and the Alter Rebbe even says Chas v'Shalom,
right,
we would cease to exist.
Right.
Because we happen to need that life force to keep us in existence.
Yes.
Meaning the body would cease to exist.
Everything.
Anything.
Everything.
The whole creation.
Everything.
Okay. The whole creation is dependent upon it.
Soul, bits, okay, pieces, whatever.
It's like, you know, we talk about we talk about physical addiction. So I jokingly say I happen to be physically addicted to air. I think about it like, you know, the thing is you don't think about it. But I tell people, listen, I take in 12 breaths a minute or so every single minute, you know. Yeah, I couldn't live without it.
Right.
So this is what he wants us to be, is we have to realize, we are batel b'metzius, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
That's how you exist. But now that you have determined how it is that you exist, so then you have to say, well, I'm totally, completely dependent on another force for my existence. Realize what that existence is.
Realize, there you go. That's a huge
point. The Heinish Yidr, son of Allah, says, Rotzen Klaal Be'en Eni Ha'olim Hazek Kulam HaNichlam Be'Bani Chayam Hazeh Nekamar Hazal Shalkar HaChat Hechai. And essentially, a person should have no desire in this mundane world at all, which is inclusive of children, life, and sustenance, as our sages say, by force do you live. That we understand that actually the neshama, before it was born, was approached,
right,
and was told, you're up next.
Right.
You know, we got you for body numbers, whatever, so, you know,
right,
serial number such and such,
right, right,
model
right,
number such and such.
Right, right.
You're going to be here. You're going to live here. These are your parents. These are your siblings.
Right.
This is the person you're going to marry. These are your kids. This is how much money you're going to make. This is how smart you're going to be. This is what your profession is. And the neshama says, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'll stay here. It's okay. I'm perfectly fine just the way that I am.
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed.
Given with that it does say in Hayom Yang, that a neshama waits, could be for centuries, to have the opportunity to fulfill its mission by coming down here and making a dwelling place for Hashem and creating delight for Hashem and realizing its function. But in the meantime, when approached, it's like, I'd rather not.
It's a great idea, but
I'm kind of happy right where I am. The fear of the unknown is really tough, you know, so
yeah.
I'm not going down there. It smells and it's cold.
Right.
Okay, and I have to feed the thing and take it to the bathroom, and I have to do what? And you want me to be married too?
Yeah.
What? I have to live with another person?
Yes.
You know, so.
And they don't even like me.
Maybe they do. The problem is they like me too much. So, the focus should therefore be understanding what's the main thing. In other words, we're going to put things into perspective of importance. There's a rule in Judaism that says that if a person is convicted of two crimes, and in one action did two things wrong, he's only punished by the worst of the two punishments. Let's say somebody kills somebody, and in the act of killing him, he rips his shirt. So he doesn't have to pay the next of kin for the shirt, because he's going to get executed.
Right.
Okay? That may seem like, duh, but, you know, you could really say, you know. There's a Jewish joke, one of these old Jewish jokes, is a grandmother is sitting on the beach, and she has a little two-year-old, and they're playing in the sand, and a big wave comes and sloshes over them and drags the kid out to sea. And the grandmother is horrified. And she prays, Rabbeinu Shalaila, my grandchild. Hey, he's such a young kid. He doesn't deserve this. Please send them back. And a big wave comes and sloshes the kid back right at her feet. And she picks the kid up and she hugs it. And she looks at the kid and she looks up to the sky and says, he had a hat.
Right.
So, I mean, exactly. You know.
Yes. Yes,
so,
indeed.
So what we're going to worry about, it's sort of like, in this instance, usually the expression is, take care of the little things and the big things will take care of themselves.
Yeah.
No.
In this instance, what we're going to say is, if you focus on the big picture, the small details just happen to be there.
Are there.
Okay? It's a very interesting thing, the way that people paint. Okay? If you stand back from a painting, you get this whole big picture.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
If you go to like a couple of inches away from the picture, you start suddenly seeing styles of brush stroke,
blobs.
Or maybe points, blobs, colors that are, suddenly you see that, wait a minute, what you thought was green is really just blue and yellow mixed together.
Right.
And all kinds of things, just sort of like, because the big picture, it's all there.
Right.
The details, by the way, happen to also be all there. So if you're focusing, because your eye didn't pick them up, if you're focusing on the big picture, what's really important, guess what happens to Bani Chayim Mizayna?
They take care of themselves.
They're all there too, because that's all part of the big picture.
Right.
As he says, Ubir Inyan Hu, explain this. Rak Emuna Amitis B'Yoytzer Breshis. That how is it that a person is going to avoid worry? That's a bottom line also. He said this way back when. But this time he's taking it more than that. In chapter 26, he said, how do you avoid worrying about physical things? Is when something bad happens, you say, Gamzu L'tova. I don't understand how Hashem does things, and Hashem does understand how Hashem does things, so therefore I'm going to a little bit more than resign myself to Hashem running the show. I'm going to say Hashem's doing it absolutely the best way possible. As we know, the story that there were some rebbes that were sitting and talking.
Mm.
And today I heard the story a different version, though. But the way I heard it was is that this, maybe the rebbes were the Hasidim, wherever they were traveling from point A to point B, and they're sitting there talking, if you were God.
Mm.
So one person said that if he was God, he would make the Jews the boss.
Mm.
And that way the world would be running so much better. Another one said that if he was God, then he would instill so much more kindness in the world. The world really lacks kindness.
Mm.
So Lady Yisrael Berdichev said, if he was God, that he wouldn't change anything because he would understand why he did it the way that he did it.
Right.
Okay. So if that's not, again, it's not resigning oneself.
No.
But it's accepting that which happens is happening.
Is good.
Okay?
Right.
But that's a low level. Because you're saying, all right, this bad thing happened to me.
Mm.
And I'll have to say that it must be a good thing.
Mm.
And I'll accept that it's a good thing, even though I don't see that it is a good thing.
Mm.
Okay? To be able to say, oh, this is a good thing, when you really want to say, oh, this stinks, is also a level.
Sure.
To say Gamzu L'tova is a madrega. That's why the story is brought in the Gemara. If it wouldn't be a something, and you're talking, the Gemara is filled with some very prominent, important rabbis.
Mm.
We have very big names. And even the fact that they're in the Gemara and we know about them 1,500 years later tells us how big these rabbis were. There's only one Nachum Ish Gamzu in the Talmud.
Right.
He's the only one walking around saying Gamzu L'tova. Maybe the other ones were up to that, well, on a higher level. Maybe he was just a low guy. I mean, you know, so.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
So, because at this point, what we want to do now is we don't want to resign ourselves to say, well, I don't see how it is that this is a higher bracha. And by the way, if somebody's in a really difficult situation, somebody has a tragedy in the family, and you counsel them with the expression "Gamza Latova,"
yeah,
you might as well just kick him.
I was gonna say, yeah, you might as well punch him in the face.
Yeah, that's
not a wise.
It's definitely, idea. Totally, completely counterproductive. Correct. The person themselves Correct. Can say "Gamza Latova."
Say it to yourself all you want. But
and there are stories. You know, the story about the losing a child is always difficult, regardless of how old the child is.
Yeah, yeah.
And people always say what a travesty it is when a little kid dies. But I have news for you that it's the same tragedy if a mother is 90 and her kid is 68.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's the same tragedy.
Sure,
because it's their little kid.
You bet it is.
And why is it that parents aren't supposed to bury their kids? That's not the natural order of things.
Yeah, that doesn't.
So why is it that things like that happen? We will never know. But there's this famous story of the Baal Shem Tov, where somebody had a 2-year-old that died, and they told him that this person was a previous incarnation, and they were a big tzaddik, but they were nursed by a non-Jewish wet nurse, and there was an accusation made against them,
right.
And so it was judged on this soul that it's going to go down to heaven, and it's going to get 2 years of Chol of Yisrael, right. And after the 2 years are over, so then the kid's going to be the neshama will be allowed into Gan Eden.
Right.
And the Baal Shem Tov said, "You weren't supposed to have any kids. Came to me for a bracha, and I said, okay, you can have this one. So you had 2 years of having a kid. What was supposed to be is that you weren't supposed to have any kids.
Right.
So when bad things are happening, we can understand that really, this really is the best scenario that could possibly be."
Correct.
The famous story with Rabbi Mnuna and Eliyahu, which I think I've told over here, him going around with Eliyahu and not understanding what Eliyahu was doing.
Yes, yes.
And finally, I was saying, it was the best possible thing that could possibly have happened to these people.
Sure.
You know, so I don't remember where it was that I talked about Rabbi Mnuna, but I think I did like a couple times back in chapter 26 or 27, 35, somewhere back there. So you've been listening to my classes. Have you come across it since you stopped listening? Okay.
No, I haven't. But I have. Let's see. I've passed over it a couple times. So anyway.
Okay, so I've told it a couple times before.
Yeah.
I only know so many stories, you know. So.
Yeah.
We've been doing this since
far enough. I won't remember.
We've been doing this since 2009. I mean, you know, so. So here he's saying something more than that. This is not Gamza Latova that he's talking about. It's Emuna Emitis B'Yotze Breishis. The Alter Rebbe is very careful when he throws around the word emes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because emes is a very powerful word.
A huge word, yeah.
You want to use the word emunah, okay, you have to have emunah and Hashem. Okay, but he's not, no, it's not just emunah. Emunah, it's like, you know, I'm the Lord your God, took you out of Egypt, you know, and don't have any other gods. Okay, so I'm going to slog through life. No. Emunah emitis, b'yotzer breishis, specifically the former of the creation. Mm-hmm. Not former as opposed to latter, but former is like the one who makes.
Who makes, creates.
Yeah, of the creation, in that things are absolutely the way that they have to be.
Yeah.
Not that this is going to work out for the best, but is the best.
Yeah. Mamish the best.
Not that something worse could have happened and I made this is okay, this is an all live. No. This is absolutely the best way that things could happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And that it's comparable. You have two different ways of serving Hashem. Like you have to serve Hashem, what's the way? V'chol ma'asecha yi l'shem shemayim, and v'chol derechecha de'ehu. V'chol ma'asecha yi l'shem shemayim, all your deeds should be for the sake of heaven. That means that you get a piece of meat, and when you're eating the piece of meat, you're eating it with the intention that Sof Kol Sof, you're going to serve Hashem by doing something proper with the energy that you derive from this meat. Mm-hmm. That's L'Shem Shemayim. B'chol Derechecho De'ehu means that as you're eating the meat itself, it becomes apparent to all who see you that with the very eating itself, you're serving Hashem.
Yeah, that's right.
You get that with eating on Shabbos and Yom Tov, yes. For example, by Sudas Mitzvah,
yes.
Where the eating itself becomes a mitzvah.
Mm.
Okay, but that's done for you. Here we want to say is that the person has worked on themselves such that their very actions
yeah.
become expressions of godliness.
Mm.
So Gamzu L'Taiva is on the level of L'Chol Ma'aseh Yehiyeh L'Shem Shemayim, that all your deeds should be in the sake of heaven. I'm working on it. I have intention for the right purpose, for the right intention, for the right kavana. V'lasis L'Yizbor Adir B'Tachtainim. And at the same time, Gamzu L'Taiva, however this is, okay, no, I think this stinks, but it will work out for the best that it could possibly work out. This that he's talking about over here is the same like V'chol Derechecha De'ehu, that the person's emuna is such that they're not thinking even Gamzu L'Taiva. It's like nothing, there's nothing happening over here that they have to think Gamzu L'Taiva.
Right.
It's not that they're thinking that this is the best, that this, oh, this stinks, but it's the best I got. They're actually thinking this is the best it could possibly be.
Good.
This is good.
This is good. Right. Yeah.
Okay. And that is an expression of emuna emitis. That's what he means when he says emuna emitis. Now, so how are you going to throw in all those classical questions about Holocaust and pogroms and sickness and terminal illness and et cetera and et cetera and et cetera and all the other world's problems?
Mm.
I don't know. Because those are the questions that everybody asks.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you take away from your emunah. You know, there's stories of I think it was after the Holocaust or in Tach V'Tat, one of those years after some really bad time the Jews had.
Mm.
Okay, so they took God to a Beis Din
to
hold them accountable.
Mm.
You know, you messed up. You Jews got hurt. Jews got killed. It's your fault, God. Okay, so they had a proper Beis Din, and they had people presenting arguments for both sides.
Mm.
Okay, and the Beis Din paskened, God is at fault.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they do after they paskened that God is at fault? They got up in the Davin Mincha. It's okay, God's at fault, but he's still got a Davin. I mean, you know,
who did God pick as his rabbi to represent him?
Who did God pick as his rabbi?
On the Beis Din.
It says that you can be mezakeh shaloi b'fanav. For something good, you can always do something in someone's stead without them knowing it. You don't have to ask their counsel.
So they assumed that they're putting God on the Beis Din.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yes.
I
had a chance to defend himself. Unfortunately, lost.
It's like having three mice try and question Einstein.
No, okay.
You know,
yeah,
but I don't not see what how it was
okay,
a good
fine.
Thing.
But the deal is though, Hashem gave us that ability. Hashem said, "You're running the world. You're running the world."
That's right.
And I'll be
Yeah.
You know, there's precedence in the Gemara.
Right.
Hashem said that Rosh Hashanah is today, and the Beis Din said, "No, it's tomorrow." It's a story in the Gemara.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so
and they pack everything up and say, okay, let's go tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to go tomorrow. Shem said, okay, we'll be back.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see it. We'll be back tomorrow.
Well, right.
But that's what he gave us. But
yes. Right. So it's the same deal. So
hold
that's
the crown over there on the side. We'll put it on tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Put it on the shelf just for the time
just
being.
Just set it over there. Yeah.
Okay. So this is. If a person can do this, and the author started the first little introductory paragraph.
Yeah.
This is not for tzaddikim we're talking over here.
Oh,
this is for everybody.
Yeah, it's true.
Everybody can say
it's true
that life is as good as it's going to be. Not that life stinks and this is the best I can make, I'm going to get out of the deal as some kind of compromise. No. Hashem's giving me the best it could possibly be.
Yeah.
And this is not even the expression of accepting afflictions with love that he talks about.
No.
The story with Reb Zusha, he said, I never suffered a day in my life.
Yeah.
You know, this is not even that. This is beyond that. This person is not suffering.
Right.
That's what the deal is. This person doesn't have 12 kids living in a hovel like Zusha. This person's got 12 kids in a 13-bedroom house. If there is such a thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want it. How can you imagine cleaning bill?
Yeah.
It's one
although with Lucia, as far as he was concerned, his house was 13 bedrooms.
Yeah. We had 13 logs, and that was fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, good. No, sir. Okay. So, dahainu. That means, shahabri yeyesh ma'ayin hanikra reish yischachma hi chachmasa she'ena masakas l'shum nivra. Habriya has Nishum Nivra, that you have the creation.
Yeah.
The creation is a something from nothing. And he talks about something from nothing at great length in Simon Chaf in chapter 20. That, which is, I'll explain in a second, let me just finish the sentence.
Go ahead.
Which is called the beginning of wisdom, when you have a something which is coming from nothing. What's the something? The something is Chachma. It's the beginning point. That this is a wisdom which is not comprehended by any creature. Because this is before, this is the wisdom, this is the chachma by which the whole entire creation is contained. What's it? Why is it Yeshma Ayin here? Specifically, it has to be Yeshma Ayin. There are two systems in creation, in the creation process. And you have Ilu V'Alu, which is officially called Seder Histalshulus Ilu V'Alu, the order of the chain reaction of cause and effect, and you have Bria Yesh Ma'ayin.
Right.
Bria Yesh Ma'ayin was a chiddush of the Arizal. I'm talking about this way back when.
Yeah.
Okay. That. So here, what's the deal is if you're going to talk about an Ilava Allah cause and effect, so causes can feel their effects going right back to the first cause. You could draw a map. You could get there from here.
Sure.
Okay? But the Arizal didn't like that paradigm for reasons which will be explained later in chapter 5, so I'm not going to go into it right now. There's a quantum break between the creator and the created and the system that the Arizal proposed.
Right.
That by looking at this physical world, you will never come up with a conclusion that it came from nothing. Okay, scientists are really trying to work on this.
They're trying to find the dark matter. And
dark matter they found already. But that just proves the Rambam in the first halachas of Yisaydei HaTerah, that he paskin that there's no space out there. It's all like onion skins. The Rambam writes.
Right.
Okay, so they finally caught up with that. This is about 10 years ago. Scientists, mathematicians. We're working on the paradigm of about 5 seconds after the Big Bang. And I heard this radio program, something coming out of Cambridge on the BBC network, and was totally fascinated that they were able to put up on a board what the paradigm of the universe looks like, if you're talking in a numerical fashion, 5 seconds after the Big Bang. Okay, that was about 10 years ago. And 5 years ago, I heard a similar program, and they were discussing the paradigm of the universe at 5 nanoseconds, which is 5 billionths of a second.
Right. Yeah.
They cut it down by 10 billionths to the power of 10 billion.
Right.
Okay. Recently, maybe the last year or so, I don't know why it's always number 5, but maybe something that was 5 gevurahs or something like that. Mm. But they got it down to 5. Picoseconds, 5 one-trillionths of a second.
Right.
Okay, so now I said, oh, got it. It takes 3 points to make a line, you know, so got it. I see what they're doing.
Mm.
It says every once in a while they're going to come up with another paradigm and it's going to be smaller
and smaller,
but they're never going to get to the bang.
Right. They can't. It's a quantum leap.
Because what they're doing is
something.
What happened after?
Yes.
They're dealing with Ilu V'Alu, cause and effect.
Cause and effect, right.
The primary cause is an ayin.
Right.
And they can't get their numbers to go down to nothing
right.
if you just keep cutting them in half.
Yeah, it's impossible.
That's why the Arizal didn't like that whole paradigm.
Half is half.
Okay, and the mathematicians will just keep cutting those numbers in half,
right.
and you're going to get, you know, to the minus 100th you'll get over there.
Yeah.
Google.
Yeah, you'll get a, there's probably a name for a...
One to the 100th is a Google.
One to the 100th is a Google. One to the minus 100 is...
One Google-ith or whatever it is.
A Google-ith, right. You know, it's a Google-ith. Whatever, they'll come up with some name for it when they finally get down that number where they need to get there. You know, so
subatomic is 1 to the negative 26th meters, so that's really small.
Yeah, and the smallest particle, the smallest unit quantum time is 4 times 10 to the minus 24th, 26th.
So, yeah, that's
like, is quantum time. That's the smallest unit of time.
It's a billionth of a picosecond.
Right, exactly. So that's probably the smallest you'll be able to get it, because what do you have, a half of a quantum time? Then it's not quantum time anymore. So they'll get to the paradigm. They'll have to stop when they get down to 5 quantum units of time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then what are they going to be left with? They still haven't got to zero.
They still are cause and effect.
That's really fast.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But it doesn't get there.
Right.
So here the Alter Rebbe is saying, no, the paradigm that we, in order for this to work,
right.
the paradigm has to be yesh me'ayin. Yeah,
correct.
That the yesh has no direct contact, no direct link
between the ayin
to the ayin, to where it, from whence it came.
Right.
Because now, why do I have to do that? Because if I'm going to say that it's a creation is step by step by step by step, so then where's my emuna going to be? My emuna is therefore going to be based also. It'll be taken from this step to that step.
Right.
To this next step, and I'll be able to develop a very high developed level of emuna.
But it has a limit.
It's not there.
Right.
We want this person to get to zero.
Correct.
Because, this is one of my favorite sayings, what can hold infinity? Nothing.
Nothing, right.
So when you get to nothing, you can hold infinity.
Right.
Is that the nullification?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I want to say this and reiterate it. He says anybody can do this. This is not for the tzaddikim. This is for the average Joe on the street.
Or the Bainini.
Yeah, this is for
Joe Schmo.
This is for Joe Schmo. Who musagas hanikra reishis chachma v'hu chachmasa she'ena musagas l'shum nivra habriya hazois hu v'chol eis v'rega, and that this creation is ongoing constantly.
Yeah.
Every instance, the world is being created exactly the way that Hashem wants it to be created. And Hashem is creating it such there's that dollar in your wallet.
Yeah.
Shemahavim kol habarayim yesh ma'ayin b'chochmasa yizborach, that Hashem is bringing into existence every creature as a something from nothing, from his wisdom.
Right.
Wisdom, we said, is the beginning point of Seder Histalshelus.
Right.
Okay, so once it is now that we have a Seder Histalshelus, once we have a starting point, that was what was created with Bria Yesh Ma'ayin. Hashem just says now, okay, so now we can get started.
Right.
Now we have a starting point. So from that point on, we could say, okay, so that's a potential. And now what we'll do is we'll realize that potential and bring it out into the actual, which is what the whole creation process is. That's coming from Hashem's wisdom. Hamachaya esakol, which is enlivening everything. But guess what? We have one of these properties in physics, that the potential is contained in the actual, that in order for the actual to happen, the potential has to be realized. So where is that potential? The potential is in the actual.
Right.
That's where the potential has now gone.
Right, right, right.
So where's Chachmasa Yisbarach? It's right here.
Yeah.
Chachmasa Yisbarach is a potential. And from the potential, there's a whole development. And where does the Chachmasa, where does Hashem's Chachma wind up? Right here. This is the realization of that potential. And the potential, so that doesn't mean that the potential dissipated. No. On the contrary, this is where the potential is realized.
It is actualized, right. The full actualization.
Yeah, Hamachaya Esakil, that he enlivens everything. So now, All you got to do. As soon as it says all you got to do.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Watch out.
Get the news.
Because she is binan ha'adam ba'aymek havanasi. Now, when a person's going to meditate and he's going to really understand it, it's not going to come. It doesn't come automatic. He says you can do it, but you're not going to get it handed to you on your lap. There are people who are innate believers in Hashem. They just were born with a stronger emunah. That's their nature.
That's true.
The Alter Rebbe even says that women, for example, as a klal, have a greater emunah than do men.
Yeah, it's true.
Because I guess they need to. So that why, who, how? How's it manifest? It is.
It's built that way.
Okay. They're built that way. Wired to have emunah and betachin.
Right.
Okay. So what's going to happen? So therefore, a woman who sits and thinks about this stuff, I'm going to go, way higher.
Yeah.
Okay? Because when a person's going to meditate and depth in his understanding, v'yitzar b'dayte, and he's going to formulate in his knowledge, meaning, I don't know how many times I can say and how many times it needs to be said, that das is not an intellectual faculty. Das is what takes the intellect and makes it practical.
Yeah.
So we want you to take this knowledge of Hashem's presence in everything,
right,
and make it practical.
Yeah.
Meaning that you have to say, of course it has to be that way. And there is no other way that it could possibly be.
Right.
The example I give of Das is 2 + 2 = 4. And when you learn 2 + 2 = 4 when you were 4 years old or whatever it is, so then you understood it. But by now, hopefully, this is something that you know.
Yeah, it's a difference.
And that 2 + 2, there's nothing else you could do with 2 + 2 except make it 4.
Right.
And even though I might go through all kinds of mental gymnastics and shenanigans, there is nothing that you're going to do with 2 + 2 except make it 4.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's still.
So with such obviousness.
Right.
So now what he's saying is, yes, this emunah, it's achievable.
Yeah.
Have to think about it.
Yeah.
But it has to be
with understanding
that you're seeing it with such obviousness that it has to be that way.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah.
There's no that you have to come up with the conclusion.
Right, right.
That there's no other way that it could possibly be.
Yes, yeah, born in you. Right.
Then when you get that, it's like Kikar Velecha at that point. I mean, then you know you're well on the way to road to becoming a Benini. But Bedaita Heavy Yasai. I'm in the middle of the sentence actually. Ma'ayin v'chol rega v'rega mamish. If the whole entire creation is created as something from nothing, so are you part of the creation? Joel, you're part of the creation?
Yes.
So were you created something from nothing?
Yes.
So how frequently are you created something from nothing?
All the time.
Yes, exactly.
Only always.
The whole rega v'rega. Every it's four times,
time.
All times 4 to the -26th power, yes. Seconds, yes. Oop, there it goes again.
There's only a billion cells all on
there. Yes, we're going to watch, I'm just going to watch Shaw. In this second, I'm going to watch Shaw being created 4 × 10⁶ times.
Or we could watch paint dry, that's fun too.
Yes, indeed. And that also dries it 4 × 10⁶ times.
Yes.
At this time, this micron is a little bit drier than it was the last quantum unit of time. So what happens now is the person also realizes suddenly, hey, I'm also Bria Yeshma Ayin.
Yeah.
It's good to, it's okay. It's easy. The person says, oh, that thing over there, that inanimate object over there, so God's creating it all the time.
Right.
This glass of water that I'm drinking, sure. God's creating it all the time.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Hashem's creating me all the time?
Right, right.
Wait a minute, I'm here. What do you mean I'm being created all the time?
Right.
You take it one step further than what you just did. If it is the inanimate object and the glass of water, et cetera, is created, and you're also part of the creation, so now you have to come and realize, oh, yeah. Hashem is creating me the right now, the way that Hashem wants me to be created.
Right.
in absolutely the best way that's possible for me to be created.
And that's perfect.
Unequivocally.
Right. Perfect.
So now, Yalal Daita, so Ha'ech Yalal Daita Kiralai. So if you're doing that now, how could you ever think that something bad happened?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
End of depression, end of anger.
End of statement.
Yes. Okay, end of worry. There's no reason to worry. Hashem is creating it absolutely the best way that this second warrants it to be created. Hashem is creating me right this second, the best way that Hashem could possibly have me being created.
That's why Mishle says, with all that getting, get understanding.
Yes. Okay. Now, it's a lot easier to cry and complain.
No, it's not. Not really. Not really.
But
It's the default, yeah, existence.
So he says now. So hey, yal al daita ki ralei arshum yisurim bebani v'chayim azon erivichay, arshay yisurim be'olam, and afflictions. No, something bad happened.
Evil descends. I have.
He has.
That's right.
He has something bad has happened.
Yeah, not happening.
Nothing bad happens.
Right.
He says, like in the next line or so, she'ain ra yorid min hashamayim. Bad doesn't happen. Because the source of our creation, this first cause that has manifest in the beginning point of Seder Istalshalus, is the source of life, it is a source of good, it is a source of delight. There is no room for anything bad to happen.
Bad's not a concept.
Correct. Hu ha'eden shelamayla me'olam haba. And this is referred to as Eden, which is higher than Gan Eden.
Mm. Yeah.
Gan Eden is just the garden on the outside.
Right.
Eden, the word Eden, ma'adanim, means delights. Mm. Same root, adan, are delights. So the word Eden means delight.
Mm.
The whole chachmasa, what is it? Why does Hashem start with chachma, with a potential? You know, we have it in Perkei Avos. Hashem could have just said, let there be a world, and here we'd be. Forget about the state of Yistalshalus. Forget about all the stuff we're talking about. He should have said, okay, no world, world.
World, right.
And would we exist the same way we exist now?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we wouldn't be able to talk about it because there's nothing but...
You couldn't fight him.
There's nothing but to talk about. Because there's no path to talk about it.
No path.
Okay. So this, that Hashem created it this way,
yeah,
is specifically, it's sort of like, when you understand, when there is a potential, this happens with in our own persona, there's a potential. And when the potential is realized, it's like, delicious.
Right.
Okay. Sure. You're watching your year-old crawling on the floor.
Right.
And just pulling himself up,
right,
and is just about to make that first step, and it's like, yes! Mm-hmm. First step. And you're so happy that this kid made that first step.
Right.
Okay? You don't do the same thing when your 20-year-old walks in the room, you see him take a step and go, wow.
Look at that.
He put his foot right in front of the other one. Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
I am so happy.
Isn't that amazing?
Okay. Because with the first step, the potential is already realized.
Realized, yes, indeed.
Everything after that, it's just an offshoot of it.
Yeah.
So that's why he says it. That's Eden. Well, if you can get to that level of Chachma, that's Eden. That's delight. That first step in the creation, the first time that has ever happened, that's Eden. Which he says is higher than Olam Haba. Olam Haba, we know, is a ziva. He just talks in chapter 4 is a, what do you call it, a ray of divinity, which is caused by the mitzvahs that we do in this world, and we get to see how the great things that we accomplish by this, and that's what Olam Haba is. But how much did you get to do in the course of your 120 years that you're creating all this godliness to come into the world on a spectrum of things compared to infinity? Not much.
Hmm.
It's just a ray. That's why the Alter Rebbe says, keep doing it here. This is where it's at.
Yeah.
Don't worry about Olam Haba.
Yeah.
We're not doing this to get into the world to come. He says, that's cheap chump change.
Yeah, no. That's for sure.
Rabbi Nesha ain't a musik. The only thing is, because we can't understand this, we don't understand how really, absolutely, everything is created the best way that it could possibly be. Lachanid malayra yisurim. Then what happens is the person says, oh man, this terrible thing happened to me. I am the beneficiary of an unglick, of a catastrophe. Okay, because if we would stop and think and say, it's got to be the way God wanted it. Okay, you have, as the floodwaters were rising in my basement on August 11th, okay, and my wife was gleefully exclaiming, we have insurance, we'll get a new basement.
Right. Oops.
And the next day calling up my insurance company and finding that we did not have insurance.
Oh, no.
Because it's a special rider that you have to have for your sewer backing up. We didn't know there was such a thing called a special rider for your sewer backing up. So we didn't have it. So all that stuff that got thrown out and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
No. Oh, well. So we don't have the basement we want. We have a basement which is not going to kill us. That's basically what we have. Okay. But comes along FEMA. FEMA says, you had a problem over here. Here's a check.
Yes.
Okay. Another organization comes along and says, here's stuff. Another organization comes along and says, here's a loan.
Right.
Okay. So eventually, God willing, we'll have the new basement.
Right, right, right.
Okay. So when the water was rising, was it something to panic about? Was it something to cry about? No, absolutely not. Because it's all working out the way Hashem wants it to work out.
Right.
And my wife had it right when she said, oh, this is great. We're going to get a new basement. You know, this is good. I'm not worried. Until she heard that we're not getting a new basement. So, but... yeah, my wife's line is, Hashkacha Pratis is Hashkacha Pratis, even if you didn't like the outcome. Yeah, you know, you have people saying, and then, Hashkacha Pratis, it happened, and everybody lived happily ever after.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Good stories.
Yeah. Right, so those are Hashkacha Pratis. Those are divine providence. Yeah. So, and it's Hashkacha Pratis, and nothing worked out the way it was supposed to work out. No, it's also... the truth is, there is no such thing as bad. We perceive it as bad because of our own short-sightedness. It's right. Our own limitation.
Right, right, right.
It's our own small-mindedness. Mm-hmm. If we would allow, we would drop our guard, drop our inhibitions, we would see that and be broad-minded about it and try and take in the whole picture, we would say, great, awesome, wonderful. Raksha ain't a musig legodlei v'rav tuvai. We don't understand how great and wonder and awesome, wonderful and awesome it is. V'zehu ikar amuna. This is what you call faith in Hashem. Okay? Do we believe that Hashem exists? It's a stupid argument. I don't understand how an atheist could be an atheist. To me, it doesn't make any sense.
Neither does he.
You know, it's just like, what do you mean there's no entity that made a creation? That's impossible. Okay? So we don't believe that God exists. That's not what the mitzvah of Amanas Elikus is.
No.
Believing that there is a God is, duh, it's obvious. There's no other paradigm that explains it without going into it. Now, we've done it before. Our belief in Hashem is, what is our emunah? That right this second, Hashem is creating me the way I'm supposed to be created.
Right. And everything around me.
Do I understand it? No. Okay, so that's where the atheists come in and say, see, you believe that this is going to happen and that's going to happen, you know, so... that we believe that the world was created for me, lahamin, to believe, that there is no place void of Hashem.
Right.
Be'or p'nei melechayim, with the light of the face of the living king. Al king oiz v'chedva b'mim kaimai, therefore there's strength and gladness in his place. And that's what happens to you. And what happens to your problems? You have no problems.
No problem. They don't exist.
Okay? And he's talking about this in 20 chapters. Wait, what is a problem? What makes a problem a problem? You do?
Your perception of it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a situation you say, I can't do this. Now it's a problem.
Right.
So when I counsel people, I say, listen, there's no such thing as a problem. It's just a solution you haven't found yet. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's lots of things that you do. Okay? You don't even think about your breathing. So breathing's not a problem. So you've got the solution for that one already.
Right.
Okay? Making a cup of coffee in the morning. It's not a problem. You know how to do it. You boil the water, you put the stuff in the pot, you do it, you pour the thing, and you drink the coffee.
Right.
Okay? Where would it be a problem? If you lost your power, your electricity. You had no way of heating up the water. Or there's a sudden ban on coffee imports into the country, and there's no coffee in there. That's okay. So well, now
you're homeless and coffee.
Yeah. So now now you can't afford a cup of coffee. So now you go to a solution that warrants it needs to be fit.
Right.
I wanted to go down. Hail the Hurak Tayv Kol Hayom, because Hashem is good all day. I wanted to go a little bit further, but I didn't realize how it is. So we're going to stop at Al Kain Reishis HaKol. Therefore, the beginning of everything, which is right in the middle of page 447, 448. Right. In the English, it's therefore, first of all, man ought to be happy.
At the dot.
Right. On the dot. Yeah, right on the dot. To be continued.